Thanks, Malcolm. Lovely to see you all this morning. Good morning. My name's Pete, if we haven't met before. I'm one of the clergy team here. It's great to join with you this morning and look at this passage together. As Steve began our service, our verse of the year is this here, isn't it? You've got the little cards you can take home. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. You will bear much fruit. And this week, we're going to be thinking about bearing fruit in 2023 and what that really looks like, what that really is. To ground that a little bit, to kind of give us a sort of a, you know, if that doesn't sound very exciting, like, oh, how am I going to do that? I imagine in this room, there'll be all sorts of things that we struggle with, right, behavior-wise. There are things that we would love not to do anymore. I'm sometimes a bit like this, don't know if you are. The top corner, not the serene one. I'm sometimes that too. But I sometimes get a bit cross with my children. I wonder if you're a bit like that, or I wonder if you find it difficult sometimes to be nice to people at work. There are sometimes arguments, maybe members, other members of your family, not your children. There are feuds that sometimes happen. People often argue over money, don't they? Maybe you've got this internal, envious dialogue as you look at other people in life. And you wish you were them. Would you like lots of that to change this year in 2023? Would you like to, as John 15 verse 5 says, bear fruit? Well then, this passage that we've got today is for you. We're here in Galatians chapter 5, and Paul summarizes in verse 5, 25, lots of what he's been saying. We're going to spend most of our time in this verse, 5 verse 25. I'm going to read it again. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We're going to unpack that. We're going to be quite practical, I hope. And I've got three steps for us of how we bear fruit, how we're more like Jesus, how we live out this verse. Step one, remember who you are. Remember who you are. Verse 25 says, since, he's trying to lay a foundation, he's about to say something about it afterwards, but since we live by the Spirit. He's laying a foundation of truth. He says, we live by the Spirit. If you're a Christian here this morning, you're someone who's alive, which might not come as a massive surprise to you. You know, you've got a pulse, you're breathing, it hurts when people pinch you. You're like, yeah, of course I'm alive. But that's not what Paul's talking about. You see, Christian and non-Christian alike, they're all physically alive. But Paul here is talking about being spiritually alive. He says, since we live by the Spirit. Paul is talking about being alive in the eyes of God, being brought from eternal death to eternal life, by his grace, being given a place in heaven, being able to live forever and ever and ever with God, friends with him, right before God, a place in his kingdom. Paul says, essentially, in these verses that we heard read, there are two ways of living. You see how they're opposite to each other in verse 16. You've got this idea of gratifying the desires of the flesh, the way of the flesh, or living by the Spirit. I want you to imagine they're almost like two paths that you can walk down. The way of the flesh over here, following your natural, fleshly, sinful desires, rebelling against God, wanting to do what you want to do rather than following what God says. Or this spiritual way of living, this life given to you by the Spirit, the life that we're given as God lifts us out of this way and puts us on this way, puts us on this path by his grace. And as we read about the kind of the fleshly way of living, in verses 19 and 20, we realize that naturally everyone is on that path. Okay, everyone naturally walks over here on the flesh path. You see the results in verses 19 and 20. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It's a pretty grim description of living, isn't it? It's pretty horrible. But it's also quite a convicting description. Sure, not many of us, I imagine, or maybe you have, but get out our wand and do a bit of witchcraft. But we'll all be able to find ourselves in this list somewhere. You know, discord, fits of rage. Yeah, I think I can identify with that. We fight within our families. You know, often it's the people you love the most that you fight with the most, isn't it? Or when you're sitting behind the wheel of a car. I don't know about you. Or selfish ambition. Do you try and put yourself before others? I mean, if you want a trivial example, just go to the car park at Morrison's. That space nearest the door, ooh, that's prized, isn't it? People squeeze themselves in there before others. That's just a trivial example. And many of you will know from the workplace or other, you know, people have selfish ambition. They push themselves before others all the time. And we can be guilty of that too. Naturally, that is where we all live. And the results are simple. Second half of verse 21. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we naturally walk this way, it's a path that ends in death, ends in being separated from God. But verse 25, since we picked up by the grace of God and placed on this path over here, in his mighty grace, God has filled you and he's picked you up and put you on this path, given you his Holy Spirit so that you can walk down this road towards a never-ending future. How does that help us, though, when we're tempted to scream at our children, tempted to be grumpy with our families? Well, if we remember that we are alive, then it helps us to remember that we don't live on this path anymore, this grim, ugly, fleshly path. We live over here. We can behave differently. We don't need to live like we're over here anymore. I guess, what does that look like in practice? We're going to use this scenario all the way through the rest of the talk, but I want you to imagine this week, you go to work or maybe with your family, and someone upsets you. They're desperately unfair, desperately horrible to you, and you find yourself, you're about to respond in anger. You're going to retaliate. You're going to get your own back. Or maybe if that's not you, you're just going to give them the silent treatment. If we live on this spirit path over here, as Paul said, if we live by the Spirit, how does that help us? Well, it helps us to realize that's not who you are anymore. Why on earth would you respond with anger and with retaliation or the silent treatment when you're someone who actually lives on this spirit path over here? The path of life, not the path of death. And we've been saved from living over here. Don't live over here. Step one, remember who you are. Step two, think about fruit. We started with the foundation of who we are, 5 verse 25. Since we're alive by the Spirit, what are you to do? Second half of the verse, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? What does it really mean to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, if we go back to our paths and you're walking this way, you're living on the Spirit-led path, then to keep in step with the Spirit is to sort of walk side by side with the Spirit. Oh, sorry, let me put that up because I need this up next. I want you to imagine it's a bit like kind of two soldiers marching together perfectly in time with each other. You and God's Spirit. You're to keep in step with the way that the Spirit lives, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that is, or we could just say living like Jesus. We're meant to keep in step. We're meant to live exactly like Jesus did. I guess, what does that look like? Well, verses 22 and 23. They're key, they're famous verses, aren't they? We were singing about them earlier. But verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. What does it look like to keep in step with the Spirit? Well, it's love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, this list shows how you and I should live. And it's beautiful, isn't it? They're absolutely beautiful characteristics. Imagine if everyone in our world actually lived like that. Kind of our big scale problems in the world, like kind of war and injustice and poverty. Well, if people lived with these characteristics, they'd be over. They'd be over overnight. And it'd be done. But also, if people lived like this, lived out these characteristics, then wouldn't it change our local lives, our own little lives? You know, arguments at work, gone. Relationship breakdowns, gone. Feuds over money, gone. If we were truly self-controlled, truly faithful, truly loving, and all the rest of them, wouldn't life be very, very different in the world that we live in? And if you're a Christian here this morning, that is how you've been called to live, by God. And you're called to live this way, to keep in step with the Spirit, step by step by step, living just like Jesus would. And you have to ask yourself, I don't know if you, do you ever see those wristbands? They're kind of out of date now, but they're kind of WWJD type wristbands. I used to wear one as a teenager, got quite a flack for it, I think. But you ask that question, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in the different circumstances of our life? Well, that is what it means to keep in step with the Spirit, to walk exactly like he did. And we're going to think in our home groups this term. We actually already started this week, some of you. In lots of our home groups, we're going to be thinking about these different fruits of the Spirit, taking a deep dive into each one and thinking, yeah, what does it look like to be loving, to be joyful, to be peaceful in the different circumstances and scenarios of our lives? Well, how about in our scenario? You know, someone's upset you. What does it look like? Well, here's a couple of ideas. Patience, or I mean, it says forbearance, but there's another way of saying it's patience. What might it look like to be patient in this scenario? Well, first of all, I guess you want to be patient and find out, am I actually right to be cross? Has the person said or done the thing I think they've said or done? Maybe it's actually my fault. I've done something that's upset them. Maybe it's slightly my fault. Be patient. Or self-control. Imagine if you're self-controlled in this situation. Well, you wouldn't lash out in anger, would you? That's your fleshly way of living. You wouldn't lash out like that. Instead, perhaps you'd talk with a different tone of voice, perhaps with a different volume, hopefully saying different things. And kindness or love. I guess it might look like showing someone God's blessing, showing them what it's like to live like Jesus. You might actually do something that blesses them, that does something positive for them, even though they've been rude to you. Essentially, isn't that what it's like to live like Jesus? Isn't that how Jesus treated us as Christians when we were rude and horrible on this fleshly path? He picked us up, died for us, and put us over here. We're to be like him. We're to show that kind of kindness, that kind of radical kindness to other people. It's big, isn't it? But isn't it beautiful? Imagine you're at work this week. Someone really does upset you, and you respond with patience, with self-control, and with love. Wouldn't that be a wonderful witness to the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't that be so glorifying to God? Wouldn't that just make your workplace a nicer place to be? It's worth saying at this point, though, we will all mess up sometimes. Yes, we've been saved. We're on this path over here, but we do still struggle with those desires, the desires and the passions of the flesh. We do quite often want to jump back over here, or you know, to put it in our path illustration, sometimes we just trip over, we fall over. The thing we need to remember at that point is that God is a God who forgives and loves us time and time and time and time again. If he was able to pick us up when we were on this horrible fleshly path and put us over here, when we make mistakes, as if we're living back there, he's more than able to forgive us, to put out his hand and pick us up with a big smile on his face. God loves nothing more than for people to keep turning back to him and asking for his forgiveness. Keeping in step with the Spirit isn't what keeps us on this path. It's just the way that we live now we're here. So there we go. Step one, remember who you are. Step two, think about fruit. Step three, pray for help. As I've prepared through this week, I've thought, yeah, this is really an attractive way of living it, isn't it? It's really quite exciting. You know, our song earlier, you know, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, fun. You know, I've been sort of walking along singing those words this week. And then I was singing those words, and then all of a sudden I realised that someone had done something really lazy. And I was like, oh, come on! Like mid-song. I got halfway through the song and went, ugh! I was like, oh, hold on. Oh, this isn't easy, is it? In fact, actually, between these two services, I actually was a little bit grumpy with someone because of something they'd done. And I caught myself immediately being like, oh my goodness, I've just stood up here and spoken on this. I don't know about you, but I need God's help to put this into action. And it doesn't say in our passage, right, you won't find it anywhere here, the words, pray for God's help. They're not in this passage. But look at verse 22, okay? Verse 22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, etc. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's not the fruit of Pete or the fruit of anybody else. We can't do this on our own. We need God's Spirit to produce this fruit in us. Just like, you know, apples grow on a fruit tree. It's the fruit tree that grows them, right? And we need, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is the tree growing that fruit in us. We really do need his help. We need to understand, like, who's doing the work here? Is it us? Because if it's down to us, we're going to fail time and time again. We need God to be the one who's working in us. It's his fruit. At the risk of giving a really terrible illustration, I know a number of you really like electric cars. I was talking to a couple of you about it a couple of weeks ago. And it's a bit like we're an electric car, right, with Holy Spirit batteries and a Holy Spirit sat-nav. If you want to go somewhere, if you want to go down a road, well, then you need the Holy Spirit power. It's the one that powers the car. It's how it makes it go forward. And you need the Holy Spirit sat-nav showing you where to go or how to live. But also, you as the driver of the car, you actually have to put your foot on the accelerator. You have to turn the steering wheel. Yes, it's powered by the Holy Spirit. You're shown where to go by the Holy Spirit. But you need to choose to do those things. You and I need to choose to bear the fruit of the Spirit. We need to choose to be loving and kind and patient. But we also need to ask God to be helping us to do that, to actually produce that fruit in our lives. We need to pray. I guess back in our scenario, you're there, you're about to get really angry, and you've tried to remember who you are. You've tried to think about what it might look like, but you're like, do you know what, it's still really hard. And so you pray. Right in that moment, you say, Lord, please help me to be loving. Please help me to be self-controlled. And maybe, just maybe, God might answer that prayer and help you bear that fruit. I've also realized, as I've gone through things this week, that actually it's sometimes really helpful to pray in advance too, to think about these things. Like I said, one of the things I struggle with is I'm sometimes a bit cross with my children. And they're 3, 6, and 8. They're going to frustrate me sometimes. That is just a reality of life. And so I've tried to think, when they do frustrate me this week, how am I going to be loving? As our middle daughter just totally ignores me, am I going to like rage at her and be like, come on, listen? Or are I going to be like, no, hold on, self-control. Florence, please listen. Which one of those am I going to do? Well, I need God's help for that. And if I think about it and pray about it in advance, I've found that, amazingly, the Lord has helped a few times, not all the time, a few times the Lord has answered that prayer already this week. Do you want to see change in 2023 in your life? Do you want to bear fruit and be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, here's what Galatians 5, verse 25 says. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Remember who you are, think about fruit, and pray for help. I'm going to pray for us now. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have made us alive. to live, to keep in step with the Spirit, to live like Jesus. Oh, our Father, we think that's a wonderful way to live, but we need your help. We'll find it hard. Please, would your Spirit work in us to produce this kind of fruit, to be loving and all the rest of it. Please help us, we pray, in 2023 and for many years beyond. Amen.